This podcast is supported by FedEx.
FedEx offers picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday.
See the FedEx service guide for delivery information.
FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business.
Absolutely. Positively. FedEx. This episode is sponsored by Audible, the home of storytelling.
Protect her.
That's from the opening chapter of The Last Thing He Told Me.
Or is it protect her?
It's protect her.
It's like that.
A thrilling mystery my wife and I listened to on Audible.
It actually got adapted into a TV show, but it was way more riveting as an audiobook, wasn't it, man?
It's about a tech executive who disappears when his company gets indicted on accounting fraud.
But he disappeared to protect her. And honestly, we shouldn't say anymore. Let's stop
there. Listen to the whole audiobook on Audible while driving in the car on road trips.
And you should too. As an Audible member, you can choose one title a month to keep from their entire catalog.
New members can try Audible free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500.
That's audible.com/tboy or text tboy to 500-500. Airbnb.
It's wedding season.
Yes, it is. What's going on, baby?
Alex and I just got invited to a beautiful venue for the wedding of a childhood buddy of mine.
Lovely. Can't wait to hear about
it. We got babysitters. We're all set to go.
And the first thing that you did, Jack?
Book a hotel for the wedding.
Okay, second thing that you did?
List my place as available that weekend on Airbnb.
Millions of people host on Airbnb, but millions more have never even thought about hosting.
Here's the thing. We've said it's great to make money while you sleep. Actually, Warren Buffett said that.
Well, when you're an Airbnb host, you make money while you sleep and while someone else sleeps.
That's why anytime I'm traveling, I immediately jump into Airbnb and set my house as available. It's that easy.
So Yetis, your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host. This is Nick.
This is Jack.
It's Friday, the real Friday, August 11th, and today's pod is just the best one yet. It's a T-boy.
I am sufficiently barbified, Nick.
Are you fully barbified? Hey, Barbie. Hi, Barbie. Hey, Barbie. Oh, Barbie.
It's a fantastic plot, and I love a good story, but it's also hilarious every scene that Ryan Gosling is in.
Can you talk to me about the Allens, Jack? How many Allens did you see over there?
There's only one Allen, and he was something to remember.
Feels like a sequel. Shredding waves is more dangerous than people realize. So, Jack, what's the first story for today's pod?
For our first story, Lyft wants to kill the one technology that everyone hates the most, surge pricing.
No more $287 trips to JFK.
For our second story, Disney just upped the price of Disney Plus by 27%.
So, Jack and I have whipped up a new math, and that math is streaming math.
We're going to crunch the streaming numbers for you.
Subscription arithmetic.
And our third and final story. Handbags are expensive, but Michael Kors was just bought for $8 billion.
We got a showdown on the fashion runway. It's America versus Europe.
America versus Europe.
It's Europe.
I'm just going to call it Europe.
It's Europe.
But Yetis, before we hit that wonderful mix of stories.
A fantastic mix of stories, Jack. Fantastic.
We have an early birthday shout out at the top of the program.
We got a birthday. Who we got, Jack? Who's the happy birthday to today?
Happy birthday to hip hop.
Happy birthday to hip hop. Hip hop.
The musical genre turns 50 today.
Hip hop. There are actually five pillars of hip hop. We got graffiti, we got breakdance, beatboxing, DJing, and MCing. True thing.
Yetis, pass the gin and juice.
Besties, add the salt and the pepper.
Because hip hop was born at a party exactly 50 years ago in the Bronx.
Get this. August 11th, 1973, New York City, South Bronx. Jack, can you set the scene for us over there?
A man named DJ Kool Herc did something with the turntables that no one had ever heard before.
DJ Kool Herc tied together the highlights of each song into a continuous loop, de-loop, 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 de-loop.
And the effect on the dance floor was electric.
Nobody knew it at the time, but this was the birth of hip-hop.
That was the first DJ remix.
50 years ago, hip-hop was born. 50 years ago, hip-hop became a thing.
But Yetis, in the last 50 years, hip-hop has gone from music into serious moneymaker.
Hold the mics, from beatboxer to billionaires.
From boys to men.
See what we did there?
In 1986, Run DMC wrote a song that was sponsored by Adidas.
Yeah, in 2014, Dr. Dre sold his startup to Apple for $3 billion.
Jay-Z, Kanye, P. Diddy, all billionaires.
Jack, the notorious B.I.G., he had a GDP.
Nick, 50 Cent? More like 50 billion.
I got 99 problems, but monetization is absolutely not one of them.
Yetis, on this 50th birthday, we're going to quote Veronica Chambers.
Rap music at its core has been a 50-year love affair with the English language.
Couldn't have said it better.
Hey, DJ, let's hit our three stories.
It's hammer time, Nick.
Snoop Dogg to Doja Cat. Jack, let's do it. 15 years before this song, two boys from the Northeast met in the dorm. They had an idea that caused a cultural storm. It's the best one yet, but the best is the norm. Jack, Nick, that's it. I don't even think they need to practice. 50%, that's a fat tip. T-Boy City on your at list. If you know, you know, cause we ready to go. We can't wait no more, so just start the show. For our first story, Lyft just announced it's trying to kill surge pricing.
But in business, every yin has a yang.
Jack, if you and I had to find the one technology innovation of our lives that everyone universally hates, what would that innovation be, man?
The subject of this story.
Yeah, it would be. Surge pricing, the meanest algorithm of all.
Millennials hate surge pricing more than they hate having to take a phone call, or find a printer, or write in cursive. Or reading curses.
East Village to West Village, $73 for that Lyft ride? You've seen it.
Lyft CEO said this yesterday, and it was shocking because it's so core to their business.
It really is, Jack. And what was his quote?
He said that consumers hate surge pricing with a fiery passion.
Yetis, when it starts raining, the prices start popping. If it's starting to sleet, the prices will surge. We've all been on that corner, haven't we, Jack?
Yes, we have, Nick, which is why Lyft announced yesterday they're trying to get rid of surge pricing.
They don't want your Lyft to dinner to be more than the dinner.
So Lyft just announced that prices last quarter were down 5% overall because there was 35% less surge pricing.
But Yetis, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. We all hate surge pricing, but surge pricing is misunderstood.
Yeah, economists actually kind of love surge pricing.
Surge pricing is like kind of an economist's dream, to be honest with you.
Because surge pricing is when supply and demand balance each other out in real time.
It's an economic kumbaya. Lyft and Uber, they increase prices when there is too much rider demand, but not enough driver supply.
So riders hate it when prices double, but drivers love it when prices double.
Because if you're Henry with a Honda and you see that surge pricing's going on, you're going to get in your car, you're going to jump on the road, and you are going to start driving for Lyft ASAP, aren't you, Jack?
And if enough Henrys with enough Hondas turn on their Lyft app, that brings the market into balance.
Yetis, as riders, we hate surge pricing. But you know what we would hate more? Not having a ride.
And without surge pricing, you probably wouldn't find a ride because there wouldn't be enough cars out.
There would be no Henry. There would be no Honda.
So, how is Lyft suddenly going to kill surge pricing?
Well, so far, Lyft has just gotten lucky.
Yeah, layoffs and economic uncertainty has more people driving for Lyft to make side cash right now.
Last year, we told you Lyft is a downturn diva. It does better if there's concerns about the economy. More people will drive for Lyft.
So, driver supply for Lyft right now is up 20% compared to last year, which kept the amount of surge pricing down last quarter.
Now, Jack, what will Lyft do if the number of drivers falls on the platform?
Or what will Lyft do if the demand spikes and they need more cars out there? They haven't told us. They haven't told us what they're going to do instead of surge pricing.
They don't really know. In the meantime, Henry's having a blast in that Honda, and Jack and I have got a takeaway. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Lyft?
For every business yin, there's a yang.
Yetis, Lyft is sympathizing with the riders here who despise surge pricing.
With less surge pricing last quarter, the average price per ride fell by 5%.
And get this, riders love that so much, the number of riders on Lyft actually jumped by 9%.
But you know who hated the 5% lower price last quarter?
Who was that, Jack?
The drivers who get paid by the price.
Yeah, Lyft, they're trying to stand out with a strategy of ending surge prices for the consumer.
But the cost of that strategy could be Lyft's relationship with drivers, which is crucial.
Because Yetis, in business, just like in Chinese philosophy, every yin has its yang. For our second story, Disney just announced it's jacking up prices at Disney Plus and it's going to crack down on password sharing.
With so many prices of so many streamers going up these days.
They're all going up, Jack.
It's time to crunch the streaming math.
We got to do some subscription arithmetic.
We're going to bust your binging budget.
But Yetis, in order to sprinkle on some context here, meet the new Bob, same as the old Bob. Disney and Bob Iger just announced earnings this week.
Disney's cable TV revenue is shrinking. Its movies have been flopping recently. Plus, people are going to the Amalfi Coast, not the Magic Kingdom.
Disney, it's looking less like Disney, more like Busch Gardens.
Burn! Burn!
Oh, the stock is down 22% in the last year. It's Busch League.
What is this, Lake Compounds? So Disney just announced yesterday, no more Mr. Nice Guy when it comes to Disney Plus.
No more Mr. Nice Mouse. They're going from hero to straight up villain on your credit card bill.
Disney is jacking up the monthly price for Disney Plus by $3 a month starting in October.
Yeah, evil stepmother over there.
And they are stealing Netflix's most devious trick. They're going to block your niece the next time she tries to log into Disney Plus to watch some Toy Story from your account.
Now, Yetis, Jack and I, we got to pause the pod for a second because, Jack, we got to talk about our binging budget. Let's talk about that for a moment. Pull out your credit card bill. What kind of stuff are we seeing?
Nick, I'm seeing a 27% increase for Disney Plus, a 20% increase for Hulu, and Netflix has more than doubled their price since they launched.
And what is going on over at HBO Max, my friend?
They have maxed out at $20 a month.
If you want to watch The Sopranos on HBO Max, that's a whole lot of gabagool you got to be paying.
No discounts if you named your son Max either.
Jack, you used to work at the Olive Garden. That's like three pasta dishes for one monthly subscription.
That's right, Nick. When you're here, you're not family.
You were trained well. Yetis, we know the feeling that you're going through because we're going through it too.
You're feeling like a frog who's sitting in a pot of boiling water. It used to be nice water. You were like swimming, you were having a good time.
And now it's like expensive water, and that water is actually hurting you.
Hey, Larry, what's going on with this water?
I don't know, but I'm schwitzing like I never schwitzed before, Jack.
Yetis, when you cut the cable cord like 10 years ago, you were like, wow, I'm saving $100 a month.
I'll never forget it, Jack. Our buddy Timmy walked in and he bought all those groceries with the money we saved by cutting the cord.
But with 5.5 streamers you have now, monthly prices going up, and no more bumming off your aunt's Netflix anymore.
Subscription is starting to cost you.
Are we even saving money anymore compared to when we had DirecTV?
It's a question, Jack, and I had in the middle of the Disney earnings, and the answer is our takeaway. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Disney?
We just did the streaming math for you.
Yetis, the average cable TV plan is $83 plus a whopping $45 of fees, which adds up to $128 a month.
$128 a month. That does not include internet, but it does include a commercial, like every 8 minutes.
So since it includes all those Jeep and prescription commercials, we compared that $128 a month to the ad-supported internet streamers out there.
And the average ad-supported streamer, Nick and I calculated, is about $8 a month.
All right, so Jack, let's do the break-even math on this. What do we get?
Unless you're paying for 16 streaming services right now,
or 8 fancy streamers without any ads,
then streaming is still a better deal than cable TV is.
Up to 16 streamers, and you're still better off than cable.
The frog's getting warm, but he's not getting burned yet.
Despite Netflix and Disney Plus doubling their initial prices.
But Yetis, with the media industry under pressure to turn a profit, we think more price hikes are to come.
And when they do, Jack and I will be here to do the streaming math for you.
Because when you're here, you're family. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp.
Yetis, how good is the feeling of finally getting something off your chest?
You've been wanting to say it. You've been waiting to say it.
But you bottled it up.
In Waspy, Vermont, where I grew up, we didn't talk much about our problems. We were encouraged to keep them to yourself.
Yetis, bottling up your feelings is just horrible for you because eventually it blows up with an outburst. And then while it's stewing, it makes your whole stomach feel terrible.
We encourage you to get it off your chest. And the perfect place to do that is therapy.
You will not believe how good it feels to say something that has been left unsaid, and you can practice with a therapist and then end up telling your loved ones the best way possible later on.
You don't have to tell them, but you could. It's 100% up to you. Oh, and by the way, what you tell your therapist remains completely confidential.
So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try.
It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/T-Boy today to get 10% off your first month.
That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/T-Boy. For our third and final story before the weekend, we just saw one of the biggest deals in fashion in years.
But this story is really about America versus Europe.
But Jack, if we're going to talk about the fashion industry, can I ask the question that everyone is wondering right now? Can I ask it to you?
Sure.
Who says Long Island can't do fashion, man?
Are you saying that, Nick?
I am not. Can we introduce you to Michael Kors, born in Merrick, just off the LIE?
Nassau County. I think that's on the Babylon line, right? Like second to last stop on the Babylon line?
Make a left at Hopog and you've gone too far, Jack.
Don't quote me on that Babylon line, by the way.
Michael Kors, the legendary fashion designer, half Jewish, half Swedish, 100% blue steel.
He went to the Fashion Institute of Technology on 26th Street in Manhattan. And then he started sticking his name on purses and stuff.
Stuck a lot of initials on those purses. He's dressed Michelle Obama. He's judged Project Runway. Jack, did you see Emily Blunt at the Met Gala?
Did she have an MK logo on her dress?
She might as well have, and so should have the red carpet.
Well, Michael Kors termed his, what's the word? Eponymous brand? Is that the word?
Let's roll with it.
He turned his eponymous brand into Capri Holdings, a holding company that owned lots of fashion brands.
Like Michael Kors, an accessible luxury house.
But here's the news. Michael Kors has been bought for $8.5 billion by Tapestry.
The deal should be at least 3 times bigger, Jack.
Tapestry owns Kate Spade, Coach, Stuart Weitzman, and now they own Michael Kors, too.
Tapestry, they're head to toe to handbag. If you're walking around the Upper East Side, someone is wearing every Tapestry brand right now.
Eponymous.
But yet, here's what Jack and I found fascinating about this story. Jack, I'm going to ask you another question here. What do you do when you feel threatened?
When I feel threatened and insecure, I buy a new cute top. And then I strut my confidence back into me.
Well, Yetis, that is the same thing that's going on with this exact fashion deal.
These American brands, these two companies, are teaming up to take on Europe.
It's Paul Revere versus Napoleon, but in the fashion industry.
Because the biggest fashion company in the world, by far, is LVMH, which is also Europe's most valuable company.
Louis Vuitton, Moët, Hennessy, $500 billion company. Their CEO is the second richest man on earth.
And LVMH has been on a buying campaign. They've been eating up American fashion brands.
LVMH owns 75 different brands. Many of them are American fashion brands that they acquired along the way.
Including Tiffany's, Sephora, DKNY. Even Rihanna's Fenty are owned by LVMH.
They're all American brands and they're all owned by Europe.
And if you go beneath LVMH, the second largest fashion company in the world is also European.
It's called Kering. They're $40 billion, but they own Gucci and Balenciaga and Yves Saint Laurent.
Add it all up, Milan, Paris, and London, they dominate the fashion world right now. Don't include Dusseldorf in that group. They don't belong.
Lederhosen don't belong on a runway, Jack. So, Jack, what's the takeaway for our buddies over at Michael Kors?
American fashion needs to unite or get conquered.
Yetis, Europe's fashion houses are owned by major conglomerates, corporate empires.
The U.S. fashion houses have been splintered, scattered, and scrambling in the meantime.
Europe's fashion houses benefit from their efficiencies and their coordination.
U.S. fashion houses are thrashing and kind of struggling right now on their own.
And because of that, American brands have been getting picked off by Europe like pocketbooks for years.
And that is why Michael Kors is selling to Coach right now.
Strength in numbers, because divided we fall.
Like Derek Zoolander allying with Hansel to take on Bruno.
One fashion mega house buying another fashion mega house. Milan not involved.
Call this merged company the United States of Accessories.
Jack, can you whip up the takeaways for us for the real Friday?
Lyft just announced they want to get rid of surge pricing. How? They haven't said.
Well, for every business yin, there's a yang.
For our second story, now that Disney Plus is $3 a month more expensive, we did some streaming math.
Unless you got 16 streamers, streaming is still cheaper than cable.
And our third and final story, Michael Kors' parent company just sold to Coach's parent company.
It's the United States of Accessories. Because if we're divided, King George wins.
But this pod's not over yet. Here's what else you need to know today.
First, forest fires in Hawaii have swept across the island, killing at least 36 people in Maui.
It's the deadliest forest fire in 5 years in the United States, and the entire town of Lahaina has been burned.
Besties, we got a lot of you in Hawaii. Hoping you're okay. Hoping the best. And second, we just got the Consumer Price Index for July. For the first time in 12 months, inflation, it actually increased a bit.
But despite gas prices rising, Overall inflation is still pretty chill at 3.2%.
And finally, the average Manhattan rental apartment just hit a record price of $5,588.
I think that's why we still have inflation.
The price of renting on the Lower East Side is now 30% higher than before the pandemic.
As always, the rent is too damn high.
And yes, you have to pay the broker fee. Now time for the best fact yet. This one sent in by legendary Yeti Rachel Hauer running all the way across Wisco.
If you've watched Spider-Man recently or have ever worn Crocs, you know Post Malone, the rapper.
Yeah, Post Malone. He's the rapper with the tattoos on his face.
Now, Post Malone, shocker, isn't his real name.
His real name is actually Austin Richard Post. But Jack, where did he get the name Post Malone exactly?
From one of those rapper name generators. Remember those?
Those are fantastic. Remember we used to do the Wu-Tang Clan rapper name? Name generator. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah. I'm known as a silly turkey if I type my name in there.
I'm known as Gecko McHafferfee.
Yetis, we got a link to the website to the Wu-Tang Clan rapper name generator in our newsletter, which you can find at news.tboypod.com.
If you want your rapper name, check out our newsletter, news.tboypod.com. If you don't know, now you know.
Yetis, Nick and I, we'll see you Monday. Have a fantastic weekend.
And before we go, a happy birthday to Josh Kaplan down in Miami, the king of the creator economy.
And happy birthday to Lauren Cantor, a New Yorker living it up in San Francisco right now.
And a happy birthday to Natalie Kwan, turning 27 down the street in San Francisco.
Happy 30th birthday to Old M Chambers in Boston, Mass.
Just as a Boston. And Tony Vadella's turning 62 down in Richmond, Virginia. Not too shabby.
Happy birthday to Akbar Kamani in Atlanta, Georgia.
And me. Aspire just delivered her dissertation at Oxford, and she's got a birthday.
Happy birthday to Amelia Simmons, celebrating in Dallas, Texas.
And Rowan Allen, happy 6th birthday over in Indiana.
Happy birthday to Tony the Papa Tomasi in Waterford, Michigan.
Jude Yang, enjoy that 2nd birthday over in Illinois. Happy birthday.
Happy birthday to Jude's parents, too.
And Sam Mott and his puppy Enzo are turning 25 in the car on the way to work over in Virginia Beach.
And congratulations to Nick Alves for doing his first therapy appointment right around now.
Because we brought it up on the show. There you go, Nick. Not too shabby.
Promo code T-Boy. And congratulations to Tara, Raphael, Fred, and Arda, who are all graduating from beautiful Pepperdine University.
From good old Graziadio Business School.
And happy 6-month anniversary to Tori and Brandon down in Connecticut.
Let's make it 12. And Alyssa Gibson and Randall Madison are college sweethearts who just got engaged. Send us some ring pics. We want to see this thing.
Congratulations to Kelly Gazarek and Kaylin Schoen, who just got engaged in Boulder, Colorado.
And Jack, 1 year ago, we gave Bonnie and Steven from San Diego a special shout out for their wedding. It looked fantastic, but you know what that means.
Happy anniversary to Bonnie and Steven. This is Jack. I own stock of Disney and Netflix, and Nick and I both own stock of Apple. Eponymous. If you like The Best One Yet, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
And before you go, tell us a little bit about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
We want to get to know you.